I have never, my mother told me that when I was a child, a baby, an infant, I hated peas. And it's like, yep, I knew it. I knew it. God knew it. Another thing I cannot stand, and I am really afraid of, snakes. They are, God's word tells us, I'm telling you now, yeah, if you read in Genesis, God's word says that I will put, God spoke it and said, I'll put enmity between you, the woman, and the snake. I stand on that. I hold firmly to that. Yesterday, I was on the Allegheny River in a kayak. And as we're, I'm telling you, that was gorgeous. Absolutely incredible. We were on the river for, what was it, 15 hours? No. No, it actually flew by. It flew by. It was so fast. So very fast. But it, as we were going down, and I really enjoyed it. I have never done that before. I was afraid I was going to flip it. I didn't know what to do. But Karen assured me we could do it, and we did. It was a wonderful time. But as we were floating down the river, in the water, what is wrong with you, snake? And it's like, okay, now my normal reaction to a snake is not normal. And I said to, I forget who I said it to. I said, is that what I think it is? Yep, it is. And somebody took a picture of it. Normally, I have a very loud, was that you that took the picture? Okay, Melissa. Yeah, she took the picture. Normally, I just lose it. And I scream, and I get out of there as quickly as possible, and I just do really ridiculous things. However, all I could think of was, if you flip it, you're in the water with them. Okay, I can do this, I can do this. So I very quickly got away from him, but it was an incredible time. We had a really good time yesterday. Karen, thank you so much for hosting us. She planned all of our meals, she planned our activities, and we ate like pigs. And after we went on the river, I kept thinking, I should have brought a snack, because it was so peaceful and so quiet and so wonderful, I got hungry. And so as we were getting out of the boats and getting ready to go back to where we were staying, Karen said, now I have a really big dinner planned, so nobody eat. Are you kidding me? And then she left us alone, so I ate. I did, Karen, I'm sorry. I ate. I could not help myself. I ate. I was so hungry. But when I got to our house last night, I ate again. So I've been eating a whole lot. But it's wonderful. Karen, thank you so much. This is a beautiful area. Absolutely gorgeous. I will be back to kayak again. But could you please take care of the snakes? Just get them out of the water. I don't care what you have to do, but get rid of them. Anyway, we had a wonderful time. We did a lot of planning for girls' ministries. We had a lot of laughter. As is our routine, we always laugh unbelievably, and then we cry. And that's good. You know, God's word tells us that our emotions are healthy, and it's important for us to do that. We even, now, I'm going to really date myself. I know I'm old. I just try not to think about it often. But I think one of the funniest things that we could not stop laughing over last night was, I'm going to date myself. I know this. Have you ever heard the song, Muskrat Love? Okay. Did you ever look at the lyrics? I grew up with that song, and I thought it was just a sweet, wonderful, it is the stupidest song. It really is. Nibbling on cheese and bacon and all this stuff. Look it up. You'll laugh with us. But we could not stop laughing. And that has nothing to do with anything today other than it gives me a moment to catch my breath and get comfortable with you. I do want to tell you a little bit about myself. I am the Girls Ministries Director for Pennsylvania, Delaware. I have been doing this for 19 years. It will be 20 years next year when I finally walk away from it. I'm not walking away from it as in never to see it or look at it again, but as in God has put it upon my spirit that this is the time. So I understand that. It's heartfelt. It's difficult, bittersweet, but it's good. I have two children. My son pastors a church in Irwin, Pennsylvania. My daughter is a CNA and lives in the North Hills of Pittsburgh. My son has given me four amazing grandchildren. They are the love of my life. I love to tell stories, and they give me lots of material. One of my favorite stories, and you know, I'm a grandmother. I can't help it. I have to tell you one story at least. I have a 10-year-old. We're tight. I have a 7-year-old. She is feisty and wonderful, and she just clings to me. I have a 5-year-old who is absolutely the most ornery 5-year-old you have ever met. He makes me laugh. I adore this kid. And then I have a 3-year-old who looks and acts like me, which is really scary. She's something else. Anyway, 5-year-old. This is when he was, I think, 3 and a half, maybe 4. He does everything full speed. He is ornery as anything. He's got energy. And he goes full speed into it. But when he gets hurt, he just whimpers. And it just breaks your heart. So one day I was watching them, and he was playing full speed. And all of a sudden, now please forgive me, I'm a grandmother. And this story is a grandmother's story, okay? He came up to me and said, he's holding his finger up in the air, and he's whimpering. And I said, oh, Lukey, Lukey. I grabbed his finger, kissing it. And I looked up, and he's laughing. I said, Luke, what is wrong? He said, I didn't hurt my finger. I said, you didn't? He said, no, it stinks. I was scratching my butt. Yeah. He's adorable. He makes me laugh. Anyway, 4 and a half years ago, my husband passed away rather suddenly. Very difficult thing for me, but God is so incredibly faithful. God's word has been my rock, my foundation, my stability. God's word tells me that he takes care of the widow. I hate that word, but I know that God means it. And I have seen it. I have actually seen it happen. So that's who I am. One thing that I love is I love to build. I love to create. I like to figure out how to put things together. I'm a problem solver, so when I'm on a missions trip, I have everything. My mantra is everything is figure-outable. You try saying that word, but... But it is. And as we trust the Lord, he gives us wisdom, he gives us ideas, he gives us creativity. Did you know the Holy Spirit is the most creative force ever? Is it not? And he gives us ideas how to do that. I love that. In my work with Girls Ministries, I have been able to influence and minister to thousands of girls across Pennsylvania and Delaware. It has been such a privilege, such an honor to be able to do that. One thing I have seen and know for sure in the girls of these lives, however, is that unless a sure foundation is laid for them, the chances of them serving the Lord for their lifetime is very slim. I believe that building a sure foundation for our children, our grandchildren, and ourselves is more important than any single sermon you will ever hear. That foundation is so important. The scripture today is Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. It's a pretty well-known scripture. And it says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Lord, I pray today that you will bless your word, bless the words that I have to say, the words that you have given me. I pray that I will portray it as you want it. Lord, we give you glory and honor for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. A foundation matters. It is important that we know what type of foundation we have. It is important that we build a good foundation. A foundation is, without question, the most important component of the house. It is the most. So how long does it take to build a home? On average, 7 to 8 months. Now, it could take longer, for sure. Homes have been built in less time, but the average is 7 to 8 months. How long does it take to replace an aortic valve? It takes 3 to 6 hours for that surgery to replace an aortic valve in your heart. So if you're going for heart surgery and you need to find a surgeon, is the first question that you ask, how fast can you do the surgery? Is it? No. Do you want the surgeon to be fast or to be competent? Competent, of course. Do you want him to be fast or to get the job done right? You know, these things take time. Building a house, building that foundation, it takes time. Having your heart valve replaced takes time. But quality over quantity is always important. This is a picture of a home in Daytona Beach, Florida, that was hit with a hurricane in 2022. It was Hurricane Ian. This home was right on the beach. If you look at it, you can see a couch hanging out. You can see different furniture. They thought it was a good, sturdy home, but it was built right on the sand, right on the beach. Because it was built on the beach, it was worth a lot of money. Everybody wants beachfront. They want to be able to walk out with their coffee and be right there in the sand. But when the storm came, this home did not make it because the foundation was built on sand. Just a few plots over is this house. Same storm. Same location. It stood firm. Can Can you see the large boulders around that home? Those boulders go deep, and they protected the home. Now, those boulders are very, very expensive. If you want to get something like that in Florida, you have to have a lot of money. It costs to build deep. It costs to build firm. It costs to build stable. Who do you think, which homeowner do you think today believes they made the right decision? To spend the money, to spend the effort, or to just build on the sand? Building without a plan and proper materials is unwise. We must have the proper plan. We must have the proper materials. The proper building plans will tell you what is needed. The exact directions will be given. The proper materials will be listed, including all the specs for those materials. Now, I don't know a whole lot about building a house, but I do know that you have to have support. You have to have joists. You have to have certain kinds of wood that are a certain width, a certain depth. They have to. If you don't, the house will crumble. It's important that you build the foundation properly. If it is not built properly, can it be fixed? Oh yeah, it can be fixed. But you're going to pay a whole lot more to go backwards and fix the foundation that has been created improperly. A firm foundation gives stability in the storm. When the winds come, the house will stand. When the waves try to undercut the house will stand. There may be some damage to the house, but the house will stand. Can the foundation crumble? A good foundation. Can it start to crumble? It can. We lived in a home when we pastored in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania. We lived in a huge 6,000 square feet house. It was three floors, huge old house. It was, I called it the white church in the middle of the church parking lot because that's exactly what it was. It was in the middle of the church parking lot. And that house had been there for a very long time. I believe it was built in 1893. Huge, huge house. It was a really cool, neat house. But that foundation, which stood from 1893, had begun to crumble. Why? It was not taken care of. So, okay, we build a good foundation so we have a good house. But the foundation was not cared for as it should have been. And it began to show signs of crumbling. And so we brought in the people that know, architects and everything else, and they said, yes, it can be repaired. But it's going to cost $100,000 to fix the foundation. $100,000. That's a lot of money. And so the best thing was for us to have the home destroyed. And that's what happened to it. When we build a foundation, if it is not built properly, it will crumble. If it is built properly, but we don't care for it, it will crumble. It will cost an awful lot to fix that foundation. So this is a very, this is a neat story. I love to tell kids about this. I love to tell my grandkids because they eat up all my stories. Can I tell you another little quick story? I tell my grandkids, I believe my calling, part of my calling in life, is to pour into my grandkids, Now, they live in a very good, stable Christian home, but they need grandma to tell them other things. And I tell them stories about God's provision. I tell them stories of God, how God spoke to me. I teach them and pray with them and teach them, try to show them God's way for their life. So I believe that the Lord speaks to me every single day. Does God speak to you every day? Yes. Do you hear him every day? Maybe not. What's the problem? Is it that God's not speaking? No. It's not that. It's maybe that I'm not listening, or I don't have my heart or my ears open to hear and see what God has. One way that God has ministered to me, has spoken to me through the years, is through deer. Now, I am not saying that there is any special power in deer. There's not. They are just beautiful animals. Maybe you've hit one or two or five and you don't think so, but I happen to think deer are gorgeous. I've never hit one. I hope I never do, but they are a beautiful animal. And a lot of times when I'm driving, I'll be praying and working through in my spirit and a conversation with the Lord, difficulties or problems or situations, and I just pray, Lord, I don't know. I don't know if this is right or what's right. I don't know how we're going to be able to handle this. I don't know what's going on. And as I'm praying, the Lord begins to minister to me, and it's like, God, but I don't know. And we just back and forth. And quite often, the Lord will send deer just for me to see. And it's like, God is speaking to me that he has this. He created these beautiful deer just to minister to me that he has it. The day that my husband died was a very difficult time for me. We lived in a townhouse, and behind our townhouse was this huge hill. It went straight up. We had like 6 feet and then the hill. It never happened before, never happened since. We were sitting in my living room, and I was just in shock, trying to process everything, and what do I do next? And there was a lot of turmoil, obviously, in my spirit. As I was sitting there, my niece said, Aunt Sharon, look. And I looked out, and on this hill, 6 deer go walking by. I live in a town. I don't live out in the country. 6 deer go walking by. Okay, you may say, well, that was just coincidence. It could have been, but I truly believe that the Lord was just saying, Sharon, don't worry. I have you. I'm taking care of you. There is no power in those deer. There was power in the fact that God allowed those deer to come by and minister to me. And I teach my grandkids that all the time. And I told my grandson that story. I've told him over and over. And he gets excited about it. So one day I was traveling, and I was driving, and I saw, oh, I don't know how many deer I saw that day. And I was so excited. I called my son, and I said, tell Zach I just saw all these deer. He said, okay. So he told him. A couple minutes later, Zach calls me. He said, Gwammy, what did the deer say to you today? Zach, it's not the deer, it's God. But God is speaking to you today. It might be through nature. It might be through a kindness that someone shows to you. It might be, I don't know how it is, but God is speaking to you. It is up to you to open your eyes, open your spirit, open your heart, open your ears to see, hear, feel what the Lord is saying to you. It might be a word of encouragement, lifting you up. It might be a word of correction. And those we don't like to hear, but they are as important, if not more, than the encouragement. And to build a strong foundation in your spiritual life, you must hear from the Lord. The foundation of your soul is more important than the foundation of your physical home. Without an intentional and sure foundation, we will flounder spiritually. And intentional, what do I mean by intentional? I choose every morning, And I'm not the only one. I'm not making myself an example. I'm just telling you in my life how I do this. Every morning, I choose to spend time with the Lord. I choose to sit and talk with the Lord. I choose to shut my mouth and open my ears and hear what he's saying. Do I hear his physical voice? No. But I read my Bible every morning. I used to pray and say, Lord, speak to me today. Somehow, speak to me and show me what you want. I've quit praying that. Well, that's kind of stupid, Sharon. No, it isn't. I no longer say it because I realized one day, God's speaking it. I'm not listening. I'm not hearing. I'm not allowing my spirit to take in what he is saying. And so every morning, I spend time reading his word. I spend time pouring my heart out to him. And then I spend time thinking about what his word has said to my spirit. And I open myself up to what God has for me. How important is it to intentionally open your heart to what God has for you? I love good music. I love music. I'm not a musician. If you heard me sing, you would say, ah, get out of here. I don't want to hear that. But I want to tell you, when I'm driving down the highway by myself, and I have the Newsboys on, or Third Day, and I turn it up really loud, it is amazing how well I sing. And I open my spirit up to that. After Paul passed away, I found myself listening to a lot of 60s and 70s music, because that was those were my eras, okay? That's when I lived. That's when I was raised, when I was growing up. And I really loved some of the really good music from the 60s and 70s, like Muskrat Love, okay? You really got to Google those lyrics. They are really funny. I mean, to the place that we were laughing and could not stop last night. But I really enjoyed that. And for whatever reason, as I was listening to those old songs, they brought me comfort. It took me back to when I was growing up, and it took me back to fun times and good times. And I started listening to it a whole lot. And then one day, I got up and I was not feeling real chipper. I was not, I was a little discouraged, depressed, down. So I said to Alexa, Alexa, play, and started asking Alexa to play this music throughout my house. And all of a sudden I realized, you are looking for something to lift you and encourage you through something that cannot. Oh, it can make you feel good for a couple minutes, but what you need in your spirit is to open your spirit up to the things of the Lord. And you need, now I'm not telling you that music is bad. I'm just telling you that I should not be getting my spiritual nourishment from it. I need to be getting that from worship music, from things that bring, that build in me his spirit, his knowledge, his wisdom, his presence, his strength, his comfort. So I've limited how much I almost never listen to that anymore. I only listen, now I'm not telling you to do this, but I'm telling you I'm very intentional about it. I realize that if I open myself up to something, I'm opening it up to something. And what I want to open myself up to is the presence of the Lord. I want my foundation to go deep. I want to build in me things that will sustain me when the storm comes. We must be intentional about it. We must choose the correct ways to build the foundation. Spend time with the Lord every day. That is not an option. That is imperative. You need that spiritual nourishment every day. speak the words of our Lord. I work full-time at a JCPenney in Greensburg, and I have found it's a little difficult to say, well, let me tell you what the Bible says about what you're asking me about. It's hard sometimes. So I have learned to memorize scripture because that's getting it in my spirit. And when somebody comes up to me and asks me about something, I can quote the scripture. I don't tell them necessarily that it's from the Bible, but I share with them God's word. And I pray after I share with them that that will go deep in their spirit. Has that done anything? Absolutely. 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 100 times, absolutely. They come to me and say, Sharon, will you pray for me? This is going on in my life. Sharon, I know you touch heaven. I know that you know God. Could you ask him about this for me? Absolutely. I have been known to say, hey, can we go back here in this corner and I'll pray with you if that's okay with you. And I pray with them. God has given me an opportunity to speak the name, the words of Jesus. I'm getting it out there, but I'm also building my foundation at the same time. I need to live an attitude of love and glory to my Lord. I hate complainers. I hate complainers. If you complain to me, it just grates on me. I have, I work with a guy, nice kid, but he can't say anything good about anything. He just, you know, somebody returns something and says, you know, it didn't fit. And he said, yeah, isn't that awful? They just don't make them like they used to. You're trying to build business. Quit complaining. And he talks about how bad the company is, and he just complains. And finally, one day, I turned to him and I said, Jeff, your goal today, I'm giving it to you. Your goal is to say one good thing. That's all I want to hear is one good thing. It's important for me to hear one good thing come out of your mouth. He was like, whoa, where'd that come from? I said, I'm tired of hearing you complain. Oh, okay. When we as believers live in a negative attitude, whining and complaining about everything, we are not spreading or living the love and glory of the Lord. We need to be that bright hope. And as we are, our foundation goes deep. And we teach others to make their foundation go big, deep. When the difficulties and storm of life come, only a strong and sure foundation will stand. There are no shortcuts to a strong foundation. It requires time, effort, and commitment. Without time, effort, and commitment, your foundation will not be sure. I am 56 years old. Okay, I'm older than that. A lot older. I won't tell you how old I am, but it has taken me 66 years to get to this place. Thank you. Some people don't get my humor. That's a gift from God, I'm telling you. I can laugh at a lot of things, including strawberries. There are no shortcuts to a strong foundation. It has taken 66 years and a lot of mistakes to get to the place where I can say, I stand sure. That one song you sang today, it is well with my soul, it is well with me. Can you say that today? Can you? If you can, then speak it. Say it. Live it. It is well with my soul, but you know what? Nothing is going right for me today. It's all downhill. It is well with my soul. I don't care. I don't care what is going on around me. It is well with me. Live it. Speak it. Example it to everyone around you. It is well with me. Is it well with you today? Is it well? Do you need the Holy Spirit to do some foundation repairs in you? Do you need the Holy Spirit to show you how you're building or not building the foundation in your children, your grandchildren, in your friends and loved ones? You are a child of God. You have no idea the power in that. You have no idea the influence in that. You have no idea how you can change the world simply by living the foundation that you have. So today I'm going to ask you to stand. And Whitney, can you come in? By the way, she's an amazing young woman. I'm going to ask you to make a commitment to the Lord today, to ask the Holy Spirit within you to show you where you need to shore up your foundation, and to example to everyone around you who you are in Jesus. Who you are. You have a sure foundation. Live it before Him. Let's just pray and close and ask the Lord. And in that prayer, I'm going to ask you. I'm not going to have you repeat after me. I'm going to ask you in your own words to ask the Lord to shore up your foundation, to example that foundation to those around you today. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your Spirit. I thank you for your Son who died for us. I thank you because you have poured into us your word. Lord, I pray today that each of us will take time today to have your Holy Spirit do an assessment within us and show us where we need to shore up the foundation. Holy Spirit, shore it up. And use us today to be a light to this world, to have that foundation be something that others come to and say, I want what you have. Lord, I pray a continued blessing on this group that is going to North Carolina. Lord, I pray that you will use them to show your love. Bless them, I pray. And God, we will give you glory and honor for all things. Bless this church. Bless these people. Lord, bless this pastor and his wife. And God, we will give you glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' precious name, amen.